had black people who could afford to live other places but couldn't, were not accepted. So you would have, in that black community in Harlem, you would have writers and poets and doctors and lawyers. And that really stabilized the neighborhood. In the building next to mine, some members of the Count Basie band lived. There was a model in my building, and janitors. The church I went to, which was a Presbyterian church, we had people like Josephine Baker come to the church, Langston Hughes. You could see Joe Louis walking down the street. It was, you know, I didn't realize that all life wasn't like that. I thought celebrities always lived closer to the people than actually occurred.
How was it that you came to join the military?
My family was poor, and you know, parts of the family actually became dysfunctional after a while. My mom was an alcoholic, and my uncle was murdered. My father went into a very deep depression, which made the family even more dysfunctional. And I realized that they were struggling just to keep me in high school. So I eventually just dropped out of high school, and I joined the Army. I didn't see anything else for me to do.
Did you actually go to Vietnam yourself?
No. But what I ended up doing, because I had, you know, even though I hadn't finished high school, I had a really good education, and I was a good test taker. I was a trainer. I was training people to do the technical kinds of things they did in Vietnam. And I trained a lot of Vietnamese.
Can you talk about the research that went into Fallen Angels?
One of my younger brothers joined the Army. I think, sort of looking at me as the as an example of, you know, and then he went to Vietnam and was killed the very first day in country. They sent them out on a patrol in Saigon, you know, right on the outskirts of Saigon. And that was the genesis of Fallen Angels. And I went through the entire period collecting the newspapers and seeing what happened every day, what was happening in Vietnam, and what was happening in the States. I also know that after every firefight, after every battle, even, no matter how small, there's usually an after-action report. And the after-action report is an officer writing up the account of the battle, what happened and how it happened, and you know what the mistakes were, what have you. And so I went to those after-action reports, which are invaluable. When I was really ready to begin writing, I took a cross-country trip from New York City to Seattle, Washington, by train, and back again, stopping at Galesburg in Illinois. I stopped off in Kansas City and these small little towns along the route. And I hung out in bars and talked to veterans. Really a very, very moving experience.
Was there about 20 years between writing Fallen Angels and then writing Sunrise Over Fallujah?
Yes. And at that point, my oldest son, who's a major in the Air Force, had been to Qatar and the Gulf. So much of what I was getting from the local things were from him. Another member of the family was also an officer, a trauma counselor. She was counseling these young people who were in combat and who had this awful, awful trauma of this of the IEDs, and that's so nerve-wracking because you never know what's going to blow up and what have you. So I did interviews with these people again, the after-action reports, and then other. You know, my grandson was in Iraq as well. The personal stories were the strongest, were the best. But also, you know, what was good, the blogs. I found the site with Americans of a background in Iraq. The parents, our grandparents were from Iraq, and their perspective of the war and how badly they felt about what was happening in there. You know, they were all, most of them were for the demise of Saddam Hussein, and they were hating Americans, not because that Americans were doing the killing of their people so much, but rather because the Iraq that was being created was being, you know, it was just havoc. It's just havoc in that country now.